But let me give you the third principle. Not only understand grace and understand forgiveness, but I want you to understand how forgiveness sets you free. The Lord has given us to be messengers of His grace, messengers of His message, not judges, not to deem who is worthy and who is not. We're not a judge. James says this, there's only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. Our role is not to be the judge. It is to be the messenger.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, part two of a message entitled, When You Need Forgiveness. Pastor Wayne will speak about the power of God's grace, not only when we need forgiveness, but to set us free and empower us to extend His grace to those around us who are in desperate need. Here is Pastor Wayne.
In fact, it says this. Let's read the next one here about forgiveness in Galatians 2:20. I love this. Read it. Go. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Because you see, I should have been on the cross. That should be me. Jesus, you're innocent. Yeah, but I'm going to exchange my life for yours. And when you understand that exchange, it transforms you. How? Let me give you the second story. Let's say, and this is just rhetorical, but let's just say I'm a serial murderer. I've killed 17, 18 people and have been very coy about it. But finally, I get found out. And it's so terrible. It is so devious that the court deems that it's justifiable to give him the death penalty. And so here I am going to the chair to receive a lethal injection. And let's say as I'm going there, I'm somewhat defiant. But let's say my son Aaron comes to the judge and says, Judge, you know, the way that justice is served is you pay a life for a life. So my dad's going to pay his life for the sins that he had committed. That's right, said the judge. Yeah, but see, to me it's an unfair exchange, Judge, because if my dad dies, we're in trouble. All us kids, his daughters, our family, he's the breadwinner. We're done. And so with his life, we destroy many other lives. But if a life is required, and this is just rhetorical, so just give me the grace on this, but let's say Aaron says, so I'd like to offer my life. That way my family, our family, can continue to live. If a life is required, I want to volunteer mine. And I'm hearing this, and I'm saying, no, you're innocent. I'm the one that did this. And I try to get out of the chair, but I'm strapped. No. The judge says, hold on. Is that your choice? He says, yes. And you voluntarily do that? Yes. And let's say they take the warden or the guards, and they pull me off of that chair, even with my angry disposition, saying, no, I oppose that. Yet Aaron sits in there and willfully allows them to strap him down. And he says, I would like to take that, to exchange a life for a life. And let's say the medical examiner comes with this lethal injection, is about to put it in his arm, and he stops and he says, Mr. Cordero, you're the one that's taking his life, not me. You inject his arm. And let's say I, with trembling hand, inject that needle and push that plunger down, and I watch his life drain away. When I pull that out, the judge opens the door and says, Mr. Cordero, you are now free to go. Do you think I will go out that door and say, whew, now I can just keep going on killing people? Whew, now I can continue what I... No. No, if I go out that door to freedom, it's not going to be my life that I'm going to live. I just took his life, didn't I? Exchanged his life for mine. I would go out that door saying, it's no longer I who live, it's his life. I need to live his dreams, because I took his dreams. I should live his goals. I should live what his heart was. And when I go here, my life is dead, gone. It's his life that has to live through me. I am now free from myself, and I'm free to live his life and his heart and his dreams. May they be fulfilled in me. And you see, that's why the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. So there was an exchange at Calvary. It is now no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in and through me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life up for me. He exchanged his, because he was innocent. I should be on the cross, not him. I should deserve hell. I should deserve death. But he took it for me so that I could live. Live to do what? To sin more? No. So that I would say, Lord, would you live your life through me, because I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. You see, that's what God, when he says, if 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because it's no longer I who live. You see, it's Christ who lives in me. So now I get to say, Lord, what is your heart? Live it through me. What do you want to say? Say it through me. What do you want to do? Do that through me. And that's what the world is desperately looking for. People who are ambassadors for Christ. They don't need to see me. They need to see Christ. Can you say amen to that? How many of you are glad for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and how he has exchanged his life? Can you say thank you to the Lord with a clap offering to say, Lord, so grateful. But do you see now that it's Christ living through us? And that's called the church of the living God. Because listen carefully, for a lot of people, you're going to be the only Bible they will ever read. And you may be the only Jesus they will ever see. So come, Lord, live through me. And that's the power of forgiveness. That's a power of grace. Is it to continue in sin? No. It's so that I'm free from that. I'm saved from that. And you will be the best person. Why? Because of grace. You live a life that's foreign to your past. Why? Because of his forgiveness. I'm saved from my past. And I'm free, not to do what I want to, but free from all those things I don't have to do anymore, because I'm going to live under Christ. And it's by his power and his grace that I live. For you have been saved through grace, by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But let me give you the third principle. Not only understand grace and understand forgiveness, but I want you to understand how forgiveness sets you free. You know, the Lord has given us to be messengers of his grace, messengers of his message, not judges, not to deem who is worthy and who is not. We're not a judge. James says this, there's only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. So who are you to judge your brothers? So we understand our role is not to be the judge. It is to be the messenger, to be the one who is a mouthpiece, one who delivers what he wants to deliver. And that's why we become disciples of the Lord Jesus, saved by his grace, forgiven by his blood. And when we take communion, we remember that, because it's so easy to forget. We forget that. The disciples came to Jesus one day and said, "Whoo, boy, you better teach us how to pray." And the Lord said, "Okay. When you pray, pray this way." You can repeat it with me. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses or debts as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." Now, in the original, you know what it means? It doesn't say, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." No, it says, "Forgive us our debts as we have already, in the same measure, forgiven those who have debts against us." In other words, the same measure that we give forgiveness, give that to us. If I have not, then don't. If we have, good. It's a pretty somber prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we will have already forgiven those who trespass against us. and lead us away from temptation, is the original. Not into, but it means just lead us away from that so we don't get too close to it and mess up. Lead us away from temptation and deliver us from the evil one. And then at that point, Jesus comments on that prayer. If there's anything he could have commented on, he could have done any. But for some reason, he comments on this. Listen to this. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours. You know what the Lord's Prayer is? It's a commentary on forgiveness. It's a teaching on forgiveness. We use it in another way, but basically, after it's done, he says, now let me tell you what it's all about. And he talks about forgiveness. If you forgive others, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. If not, you're in deep kimchi at that point. So you have to rethink. And the disciples go, ooh, whoa, is that how you pray? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it really is a commentary on forgiveness. You see, sometimes when people sin against us, we become a judge. Well, I don't think they're worthy of my forgiveness. No, you're not a judge, you're a messenger. And forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for you. Why? Because if you refuse to forgive, you will be held hostage by their sin. You will become a slave to their sin. How many people have sinned against you, betrayed you, or built you out of something, and you think about it, you are encaptured by it? You are always thinking about it again and over again until resentment, the toxin of resentment sets in. And you know what resentment is? Resentment is like drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die. It hurts you. It destroys your innards and your guts. It affects what you think. It affects how you see people. It affects what you say, your disposition, your attitude. You are held hostage by that person's sin. And you know what forgiveness does? It sets you free. Done. Because I ain't the judge. There's only one lawgiver and one judge. Does that exonerate that person from their sin? No. But it allows God to now be the judge. You want to be the judge? It'll kill you. Because that's not your role. You weren't designed to be a judge. You were to be a messenger of what he is speaking. And he says, the way to keep free from that person's sin, his error, his mistake, is forgiveness. Otherwise, you're a slave to that person's sin, isn't it? How many women, for the rest of their life, they have problems? Why? Because somebody messed up. Somebody sinned. Man, the heart of man is deceitful, the Bible says. And the rain is going to fall on the just and the unjust. Take a look at Jesus. He was innocent, but look at all of the evil that took place on his life. But he still said, nope, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I got to keep my focus. And so he issues forgiveness. He's able to fulfill the Father's heart for mankind. And you and I are saved today because he was able to forgive. Do you understand? And we then refuse. We become judges. Well, they're not worthy of my forgiveness. Oh, that's not your role. It'll kill you if you try to take on that role. Well, I don't think he's deserving of forgiveness. That's not your decision. You ain't the judge. There's only one lawgiver and one judge. Forgiveness is for you, not for them. God will take care of them. He also needs to take care of you. And the gift is forgiveness. When you understand that, whew, everything changes. I'm going to give you the final story, another illustration that I just kind of made up, so forgive me. But I try to think in parables so that it helps us understand some things. Let's say I drive into your driveway like a reckless, crazy teenager. And when I drive in, I run over your cat. Okay, boom, boom. Now, don't write me letters. This is just a story. Fake news, but the message is real. So, boom, boom, and you come running out, my cat, you murderer. And I say, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to run over your cat. Yeah, but you did. Oh, please forgive me. I can't forgive you. You should have slowed down. You should have seen my cat. You're terrible. You're no good. I never want to speak to you again. Well, I was so excited. I just came to tell you that I won the lottery of $195 million. I don't care, you. What? Yeah, and I just... Please forgive me. I can't forgive you. That was my favorite cat. So I say, how much for that cat? that cat can't be replaced. $100,000. Rip, could this check help you to forgive me? $100,000? You're forgiven. You are a nice person. That cat was nothing. If this hundredth were a cat, I have three kids. I'll just line them up here. You're just... Oh, no, no, no. Can I help you forgive other people?
Well, what do you mean?
Anyone else that you can't forgive?
Yeah, my brother. My brother called me a bad name once, and I just can't get it out of my head.
Here's $50,000. Will that help you forgive him?
Oh, $50,000.
It wasn't that bad of a word anyway. Yeah, I forgive him. Anybody else? Yeah, my teacher. $25,000. Will that help you forgive your teacher?
Yeah, of course.
Anybody else? Yeah, my uncle. My uncle abused me. Oh, here's $250,000.
Whoa, absolutely. He's a pretty nice guy, really.
Anybody else? In fact, let me do this. Let me write you a check for $700,000. Will that be enough so that you'll forgive everybody that's ever done anything wrong? Now you have over $1 million. You say, oh man, I'm the most forgiving person in the world now. I forgive everybody, everything. Now, as facetious as that might sound to you, I want you to know that Jesus didn't write you a check for $1 million or $2 million or three. He bankrupted heaven for us. He gave his own blood and life in exchange for us. And even when we were yet sinners, he died for us. He doesn't have any more to give. He gave it all. He gave it all for you and for me. And we say, well, that's still not enough. Because you don't know what my brother did or my husband did or my wife did or this neighbor did. The Lord said, but I bankrupted heaven so that you would be not a judge, but a forgiver of the, so the kingdom of God can run through you so that you could live a life that says, Lord, live your life through me. Dream your dreams through me. What do you want to say? Speak it through me. I gave everything so that would happen. Well, that's just still not enough. Then it's not a matter of the resources of heaven or what he has done. It's a matter of our heart, isn't it? So the problem doesn't lie in heaven. It lies within our heart. That's why it's so important for us, I think, to understand the power of forgiveness and the gloriousness of grace. And then our responsibility. And I know for many of us, we've been in church for many years, but this still has to sink in yet. And when it does, it'll transform you. Grace will make you one of the best because it's a gift. I'll be the best employee. I'll speak the best. And forgiveness. You bankrupted heaven, didn't you, Lord? For me. And you exchange your life for mine when I should be there on that cross, and yet you exchanged and then set me free. Well, I have no life because it's gone. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So when I go through that door of freedom, it's your dreams. Live them through me. Live your life through me. Live your heart through me. It is your heart that beats in my chest, no longer mine. And that's why the Bible says when you come to Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And then let me forgive and love through you. Yes, Lord. Did I give enough? Yes, Lord. Good. So be the bride of Christ. Be the people of the living God. So that when a desperate world sees this church, they'll see the love of Jesus that transformed people. I mean, really transformed us. And whenever my old life wants to come out, I say, no, I'm going to die daily to that. That's what Paul the Apostle said. I'm going to live unto Christ. When that happens, the world starts to see Jesus afresh. No, not religion, not a denomination. They see that Jesus is alive and well. Do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep.
future is in you. All fear and all doubt are lost in your presence. When all else fades away, your promise.
Music from the New Hope Singers on Words of New Hope. Just before that, the conclusion of a message entitled, When You Need Forgiveness, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
You live a life that's foreign to your past. Why? Because of His forgiveness. I'm saved from my past, and I'm free, not to do what I want to, but free from all those things I don't have to do anymore, because I'm going to live under Christ.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you, and have a great day in the Lord.